it is, Jared and the GM, live from Neighbors in Germantown again tonight, Monday Night Football, Cleveland and Washington. And, of course, the big game, they'll have the Tullamore Dew and Brews that are only $6. So come on out for Monday Night Football tonight, Tullamore Dew and Brews. Only $6 tonight at Neighbors Bar in Germantown. Of course, owned by former Titan great Zach Piller.
And a nice place. I mean, I'm impressed. Zach's done very well. Interesting. All these walls. I love these walls. He's got so many neat things. You can tell who some of his favorites are.
Oh, Steve, you can tell Steve McNair is his.
Oh, yeah. He loves the Titans. He loves wrestlers. He loves Johnny Cash. And in the other room, the sunroom out there, they've got a ton of movie memorabilia. And they've got like a jersey from what's the pitcher's name on Lee, it was a funny baseball movie.
Major League?
Something like that. One of those kind. Well, anyway, he's got jerseys and all kinds of autographed stuff in there from guys that are movie stars. So
my favorite, he's got a bunch of Steve McNair stuff around here. My favorite is they got a painting of Steve McNair where Steve McNair is doing the Omega salute that we used to do when we were in middle school. We'd go out there and play football at recess. We'd score a touchdown, and just like Steve McNair would do the Omega salute, we would do the Omega salute, and at some point we would realize that since we were not Omegas, we should not do the whatever it is. We should not do the salute because we were not part of that fraternity.
Yes, sir.
But we didn't know that that was what that was about. The Titans are 1-2, which is not a good place to be. And after watching Houston come back yesterday at a good Los Angeles team, Indy hold off a so-so Falcons team. We'll see how good they are, which you really want the Falcons to win yesterday just to give Indy a loss and to not go into their game against you next week thinking, oh, God, we got to win that game at home. But them's the breaks there, and Jacksonville just slashed you up and down on Thursday night. I am worried after watching some of these teams play that if the Titans don't get things figured out in a hurry and roll off some wins here, they're going to be in trouble this season. I mean, that they are. I know it's only 1-2, and we last year, you know, Dallas was terrible in November, and all of a sudden they didn't lose a game the rest of the way, and now Dallas is one of the best teams in the league and everything. I get it. Football is like Vegas. Your luck can change very quickly in the NFL.
Yes, sir.
And yet I'm worried that if the Titans don't get it figured out soon, that this season may end up being a lost season. Am I wrong for feeling that way after what I saw yesterday, especially from the other AFC South teams?
Well, yeah, I mean, wrong from this standpoint. I mean, they're not going to continue to play that way, and we're not going to continue to play the way we played. I mean, this is going to go up and down for all of these teams. If there's anything that we've learned in the AFC South is that no one is consistent, and so unless it's consistently bad. So I think we'll go up and down. We'll play a lot better and get excited like we did the first week and think, okay, we're on our way. And then, you know, something else will happen. And they will do the same thing. You know, that's like we were impressed with Indy's win. Well, Indy will go out here against some rotten team and you know, not do a good job. And they'll lose a game or two. So, I mean, it's going to go back and forth here for a while. You'll know when it's time to yeah, and you hear a lot of people say, is this a must-win game? And I'm thinking to myself, we're going in the fourth game. This is the first. We were going to be okay last year if we were 0-4 or something. You know, when we looked at it, we said, golly, if we could be 3-1, we'd be thrilled to death. Well, we were 3-1. And what happened? You know, so, I mean, there's an awful, awful, awful lot of football to play.
Sean Reese says that it is the Omega, so I was right about the Omega salute, the Steve McNair salute. Now,
Q-Dog.
Yes, the Q-Dogs, they are Omegas, Q-Dog. I guess.
I have no idea.
But Anywho, back to the Titan front. I know that you're... I know that you just laughed at the idea of, is this Sunday a must-win game? And yet here I am sitting here thinking...
This Sunday's a must-win game.
If they don't win this Sunday, I mean, I don't... It just... And it's what I said to Zach Piller earlier. It's what I'm saying to you. And that is that if I felt like the Titans were truly a good team, then I would feel good about playing at Atlanta or playing at Denver or playing at, you know, some of these pretty decent teams or pretty bad teams, like at Oakland. They should win at Oakland. They should win at Denver. Those are bad football teams, and yet... I can't tell you. I don't even. Have the Titans ever won at Denver in the history of this franchise being in Tennessee? I don't think they have. And at Atlanta, that's going to be a hard game this week because Atlanta is in a creek if they don't win. Well, and then Buffalo. I mean, I started to think, okay, early in the season, we thought, well, they're not going to lose to Buffalo again after they lost to Buffalo last week or last year. Buffalo's 3-0. They're with the Patriots and the Chiefs at 3-0. Now, I still think they kind of stink because they almost lost to the Bengals yesterday. And the Bengals, you know, are well onto their way of 11 losses, at which point Floyd will have to give me $100.
Oh, I can feel that slipping away, too.
You can feel your $100.
I watched yesterday. Oh. And you know what's crazy? This is how stats can be deceived. The quarterback is the number two rated quarterback in the NFL.
Talking about Andy Dalton?
Yep. Number two.
0-3.
And they can't win again. So, go figure.
And so I'm excited to take Floyd's $100 bills on Cincinnati. But here...
I thought it was 10.
Oh, get out of here.
I thought it was 10.
And
wasn't
here,
it 10?
I'm moving forward. This is absurd. I'm moving so forward.
Put it on
this.
The mahogany, Floyd.
Thank you. Thank you. He believed in the Bengals, which makes him the only person in the history of the world to believe in the Bengals. But...
Well, we're not done yet. What did I say? They just got to win six.
Yeah, you said you feel your $100 slipping away.
Well, yeah, because they're 0-3.
And they're terrible. But this goes back, again, just looking at the Titans, I am worried that if they get too far behind, the season will slip away from them. And maybe it's just because I just don't think they're good enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably true with every team. I mean, if they get too far behind and... You know, they don't have a chance to catch up. But, I mean, we're a long way from that.
So if they lose on
Well,
Sunday,
let's think about this. You've got to bet your house on a team that was just in the Super Bowl, what, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
In the Super Bowl 3 years ago, has the best receiver in the NFL, has, you know, an MVP quarterback. And, or you can go with Davis and Marcus. who are you betting on?
I mean,
I mean, the truth is that Atlanta is a really good football team. Now, they've banged along here, and the quarterback hasn't played as well as he would like, but, I mean, he was the league MVP.
Yeah, I'm not a huge believer in Atlanta, but I'm not even. It's not so much about talking about Atlanta, in my opinion, as much as it is me talking about the fact that the Tennessee Titans. I mean, the Texans could win 11 games this year. I mean, the Texans are good. I think the Texans are good.
The quarterback is going to have to stay alive, and that's going to be marginal. I mean, he just can't continue to keep taking that abuse.
What's your gut tell you in that regard then, long term? Houston, Indy, who do you feel better about for the whole season?
Indy. After yesterday? Really? Oh, yeah. I mean, Indy's for real.
So, but that's another reason why, you know, I got excited when Andrew Luck retired and you had Indy beaten.
Well,
you had him beaten and you screwed it up.
See, you got excited about Luck retiring because you thought the backup was going to be horrible.
I thought he was going to be not Luck, which he's playing pretty well.
And he's not Luck, but he is pretty good. And so I think it's, you know, that's kind of the situation we're in.
Let's go to your phones on this next. 615-737-1025. And then I do wonder with Floyd, am I overreacting about how I feel about the Titans being 1-2? 615-737-1025, Jared of the GM, live from Neighbors out here in Germantown. Again, we're here thanks to our friends at Tullamore Dew and Brews, and we'll have the Monday Night Football Watch Party tonight here, Chicago and Washington. So come on out and check that out. That's Neighbors out here in Germantown. Coming up next on Jared and the GM, we'll go to your phones and whatnot. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Look, I know that it feels like that massive heat wave is gone, which means that maybe the weather changes are going to affect your HVAC units. Don't let that happen. Be sure to talk to my friends at Hiller for any problems you may have that may arise with that HVAC unit. Maybe you already like the other guys. You got something big going on. Maybe you already use them. That's fine. But what you should do is call Hiller out because they can get you a second opinion for free. You got to get major plumbing work, same thing, and they'll take great care of you and give you a great deal thanks to True Transparency Pricing. That's right. Hiller's got True Transparency Pricing, and that's why I love using Hiller at my home. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Nashville Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5, the game.
Well, it's got to be the mindset leaving him. We're going to get 10 days before the next game now to find ourselves 1-2. But what has to happen moving forward?
It's a gut check. I mean, to be honest with you, you lose two division games within a span of 5 days. It's a wake-up call. And, you know, I think we have the guys in the building to bounce back. I believe in these guys. And we're going to find ways to get better and get ready to go next week.
That was Marcus Mariota, and I mean, 1-2, Floyd. How many times do you think you've been 1-2 in your life?
Oh, I don't even, I mean, a bunch. I'm sure a bunch.
I mean, 40 years in the NFL. The New England Patriots were 1-2 last year and won the Super Bowl.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In the NFL, 1-2 is hardly a death sentence. Now, there's some 0-3 teams out there, like the Steelers. I look at the Steelers at 0-3, and I think, go ahead and pack it in, you know. Goodbye. See ya. Forget about it. The Bengals are 0-3. Forget about it. See ya. Goodbye. Like most of the 0-3 teams, I feel like I can say, see ya goodbye to. 1-2, not the end of the world. But, for some reason for me, I am having a hard time with the Titans at 1-2. And maybe it's just the way that they lost this game to Jacksonville. Maybe it's the way that I just felt so sure that the Chargers were going to win yesterday at halftime that when they didn't, I'm thinking, oh, my God, the world is ending, it feels like. I don't know. But this 1-2 really bothers me, and I don't know if I'm just overreacting or whatnot, but I don't feel good about the Titans being 1-2 and being 0-2 in the division. Is it an overreaction?
Well, yeah. I mean, the 1-2 is not the end of the world. 0-2 in the division is the one you don't like. That's the one that bothers you because you've almost got to go undefeated for the rest of the games, which means you got to play Houston twice. I mean, so that's going to be tough. But I mean, that's kind of the hole you've dug. But the other part of it is I don't wish anything on anybody, but, I mean, let's face it. Deshaun Watson is getting hit 15 times a game. Mm-hmm. One of those is gonna injure him. So he goes out, he misses 8 weeks, misses half the season. Well, all of a sudden, you know, the two games against Houston, you may have a better chance at. You know, you may feel much, much better about those games. I mean, there's just so many things that could happen. If you knew everything was going to stay status quo, that is, you knew this team was going to stay just the way it is, the offensive line's not going to get any better, the left tackle is not coming back, all of those kinds of things, mm-hmm. then you would say, yeah, okay, I'm concerned. But you know that it's not going to stay that way. Now, I don't know what the answer is particularly, but you know it's not going to stay that way because it can't. I mean, it's too, you know, bad. It's not good.
If you called Bill O'Brien and said, Billy, I am worried about the health of your quarterback, what do you think he'd say to you? Like, oh, Floyd, I was worried as you, or do you think he'd say, I got to figure something out?
No, he'd be the same thing. He's scared to death.
Let's go to the phone. 615-737-1025, loaded phone lines. James is up next and has been waiting patiently. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, James.
What's going on, guys? I got your fix for the Titans.
All right.
We need a new owner.
Well, you're not going to get it.
Well, probably not. But, I mean, we got a first-time GM who fires a coach after making the playoffs. Then he turns around and hires a never-a-coordinator head coach.
He was a coordinator. Time.
Okay. Romeo Cornell really was. But, okay, I'll give you that one. Who turns around and hires a never-coordinator to be offensive coordinator. And the quarterback's garbage. But if he continues to start, we'll be in a position to draft a quarterback by the end of this year because the defense can't keep carrying this dude. It's been 3 years of that. So
I don't – thank you for the call. These people that think the Titans are going to be able to draft a quarterback high in the first round are off their rocker. Mariota is a 9-win-a-year quarterback. He has won 9 games almost every year in his NFL career. He's a 9-win-a-year quarterback. You ain't going to be picking third if you win 9 games this year. And I'm not convinced that you have to find your quarterback at the top of the first round of the draft. Probably helps. But the Bears took Mitchell Trubisky, and Patrick Mahomes is 100 times better than him. You know, the Titans held a pick. They could have had Watson or Mahomes. A lot of teams could have had Watson or Mahomes. They didn't. So sometimes you just have to scout, and you find a guy in the second round who can be a franchise guy. Or I don't think you have to pick number one, and that guarantees you'll find your franchise guy. Josh Allen's 3-0, Baker Mayfield's 1-2. I think quarterbacks are as much of a crapshoot as anything else at the top of the draft.
Well, I mean,
this quarterback proves.
Yeah, it's like everything else. It depends on what you put around it and what you expect of him and all those things, you know. And with Baker, I mean, the bottom line, the hard part for Baker is they're expecting him to go out there and throw the ball around like he's a 7-year guy. You know, we're going to put it in your hands. You go out and find a way to win.
I think the problem with Baker is the expectations on Baker coming into the season, whether they're his own, whether they're because the coach wants to prove that he should be the coach and he was the offensive coordinator, so he wants to go score 55 points a game to go prove that he should be the coach. It's all added up to what you always say about, you know, your mouth writing a check your butt can't cash. I mean, Baker's on every commercial, it feels like. Well, that's great, but you want to be on every commercial, you better make some plays or else everyone will look at you like all you're doing is doing commercials and not focusing on football.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the games they've played and they, you know, our game, he goes out and throws three interceptions. And then throws the interception last night, you know, in a game that cost him the game, in essence. And, you know, pretty soon people will start looking at that and they're going to say, wait a minute now. What happened to that guy that was going to come out here and set it on fire? Well, you know, he's a young quarterback. That's hard to do. But he's Baker Mayfield and he's number one guy and he's, you know, brash. And he's, you know,
doing every commercial,
a gunslinger, and he's doing whatever, you know.
Lance is up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Lance.
Hey, Floyd, I got a question to ask you.
Yes, sir.
Is your chances of winning 6 with the Bengals better or worse than the Titans winning 12? And I think that he had the numbers right, 12-4, but he's got them backwards. And also, the Titans ought to be considered whatever he said, an 0-3 team, because the first one was gift wrap for Christmas from the Browns with 180 yards of penalties. I'll hang up and listen.
The Browns gave you the first one. You gave the Colts the second one. I mean, I hear you, but you gave the Colts week number 2. That's the most frustrating part of the entire thing with the Titans right now is that they just gave the game to Indianapolis. If you win that game against Indianapolis, now Indy is fighting for their life yesterday against Atlanta, and that makes that game enjoyable to watch, even if Indy wins it. And on top of it, you're 2-1, and you're okay knowing you've got Atlanta, and you can take care of yourself. The loss to Indianapolis is a killer.
That's why I was so frustrated after that game. I mean, they did not beat you. You
lost the game.
Lost the game.
You lost it.
And you see the same thing yesterday. You go out and watch these games. I mean, it's, you know,
Flacco.
90% of them, you're losing the game. What'd you do? Well, we got a bunch of penalties. Okay, well, we need to correct that. Yes, you do. That's like Quinn's going out to get, what did you say?
Bringing officials in.
Why? Because you got a bunch of penalties. Yes, you did. Well, you didn't know that was going to cost you a game? No.
I think Quinn's going to get fired. Like, and not to say that, and we'll get into Quinn later in the week. I think Quinn's going to get fired. I just do. I just look at Atlanta and how far they've fallen, and they've changed the coordinators, and the owner has huge expectations, and they're giving Julio all this money. And I just think Dan Quinn's going to get fired.
They have awful luck with injuries.
Oh, this killed their defense 2 years in a row.
2 years, and they've already lost, what, two starting safeties in this defense, and it's week three. I mean, they just have a hard time staying healthy.
Let's go to Kyle, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Kyle?
Good afternoon. Yeah, to your earlier point, I would have to say I'm personally concerned with the Titans. They're 1-2 right now. Although they've been in the games, the offensive line, of course, is the problem. You know, does Taylor Lewan come back and fix that? I don't know. But think about it like this. That's two division games we've lost. We look back last year. If we win the Bills game, if we win the Chargers game, we're in the playoffs. That's all it takes. So you drop these two early. Say we get it on track. Does that come back to bite us in the butt? I personally, like I said, I'm concerned. I think Marcus is a great quarterback. Defense is great. But if the offensive line can't keep him, he's injury prone. If they can't keep him safe, then we're in big trouble.
Thank you for the call, Kyle Floyd.
Absolutely. I mean, he's right. If we can't keep the quarterback upright, we can't. And again, I think they'll do something to solve that problem this week. And I don't know what that would include. I'm going to assume it'll include either getting somebody healthy or some kind of a personnel change. And I don't know if Panfil's back or not. I don't think any of us know what the heck the issue was. So
They're talking more about the idea of Nate Davis being able to play this week than Panfil.
Yeah.
Floyd, you get Nate Davis out there, baby.
Yeah.
He might be the only hope. Back to your phones, 615-737-1025. Back to your Titans calls, 615-737-1025. Do not miss the pregame show. That's right. We're back on Sunday morning, 9:30 to 11:30. Our coverage begins at 7 with the kickoff from 7 to 9:30. Then pregame live from the George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue, 9:30 to 11:30 for Titans-Falcons. Jared the GM, Chris Sanders, will be there breaking down Titans-Falcons, brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, and Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House. So we look forward to seeing everybody over at the George Jones before the game against the Falcons on Sunday. Jared the GM, live from Neighbors in Germantown today. Thanks to our friends at Tullamore Dew and Brews. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared the GM hanging out at Neighbors Bar in Germantown. Titans back to practice today. They get an extra day of practice this week because they played on Thursday night. So that means today they got to practice. Vrabel had talked about, by the way, accountability being something that they were working on. How do you work on accountability in practice? Like, okay, if you screw up, you have to raise your hand and say, I screwed up.
I did it.
I don't know what that means. But you know what? I'd love to see it come to fruition somehow, some way that results in a couple more wins on the scoreboard.
Yes, sir.
And maybe like that's a buzzword. Vrabel's trying to use accountability or something like that. Or maybe he's just mad at Adoree Jackson like I am, and maybe that has something to do with that. Let's go right back to your phones as promised on Jared and the GM, where Jared is up next on the Titans quarterback position. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Jared.
I have a couple of things to say. One, Vrabel needs to go to coaching school, and they need to bring Mike Munchak back to coach the offensive line. And to Mr. Jared, to your point when you asked the GM, will Jacksonville be able to score 17 points? No, they can score 20 points. And you basically put them out there to where they use probably your words to get a victory that they shouldn't have had.
Jacksonville scored 13 points, and Dory Jackson gave them 7.
1 month's punt doesn't score the touchdown. The rest of the other team does. So putting that on one person
Adoree gave them a touchdown. And I look, I hear you on that. Like, you can say, well, you know, if the defense, and Vrabel even said something like this after the game or on Friday. Vrabel said, you know, the defense has got to bow up in that situation. Even if the ball's at the 7-yard line, you got to play 3 downs, get off the field, and kick a field goal. I agree. But let's not make a mistake. Adoree Jackson gave them 7 points off the bat. Now, again, the thing the good teams do is if you make that kind of mistake, which you would hope that you wouldn't because – the good teams usually don't make those kind of mistakes. But if you make that kind of mistake, you hope that you have a player on your team who is capable of making up for that mistake. And I just don't feel like the Titans had a single player in the Jacksonville game who was going to make a play that was going to make up for the mistakes that they had made previously in the game. And I really include the defense on that because when you're down 7-0 or 14-0, you're still in that ball game. If you pick a ball off, or you force a fumble and you take that baby in there, all of a sudden it's 14-7 and you've got momentum and it's a totally different ball game, and nobody in on either side of the ball made a play on Friday, Thursday that would change.
But, by the way, did you watch your alma mater play?
I did.
And you love your coach.
I do.
He's really a really good coach.
He's doing a good job.
Did you see him go for it on 4th and 3, behind by 14 on the 30-yard line?
Yeah, I didn't like
exactly
it.
Like Mike did.
I didn't like it.
Well, you just said he was a good coach.
He's a good coach. I said Vrabel was a good coach.
I heard you say a bunch of. Did you see the guy run into the kicker?
Now, see, I thought that was a bad call.
No, that was a good call.
I thought that was a bad roughing the kicker.
Bad penalty, allowed them to re-kick and work.
No, allowed them to score a touchdown.
Oh, that's right. Then they went for it. Yes, score the touchdown.
Well, they got an automatic because it was rough.
So,
well, I mean, we lost the game. Not to get into a Louisville-Florida State breakdown, but we lost the game.
I was just curious.
We lost the game when our backup quarterback threw an interception with 9 minutes to go down in plus territory, and it cost us the game.
I was just curious if we saw the going for it on 4th and 3 or 4th and 4.
But
or whatever
Ian,
it was.
Ian, have I not
exactly
said.
Exactly like Vrabel did.
Have I not said in my criticisms of Mike Vrabel that I still think Mike Vrabel is a good coach?
I think that's somewhat fair.
Thank you.
Somewhat.
Thank you.
He said somewhat.
You're grasping
he
the straws over here, Floyd,
because
you know that I've said that Vrabel's a good coach.
No. You want to, every chance you get, you jump right in the middle of him. And here your coach does the same thing. You didn't even mention a word of it.
Because we don't talk about
same
Louisville
exact
football
thing
on the show. We don't talk Louisville football.
I have
football
never
on
heard
the
you
show
talk about the
what do you think of your coach?
A little bit shaky.
What do you think of your coach at UCLA?
What, we had a nice win this
did
week
you see that? I'm sure you didn't stay
yes
up late enough to
who
see that,
no
play, but
who
oh my goodness.
We beat Washington State, and we were behind by, I think, 34.
Came back from down 34.
Came back from down 34-1. Their quarterback threw, was it 9 touchdown
passes?
9
touchdowns, I think so, a record.
9 touchdown passes, and we won.
That game was crazy.
See, that's why nobody watches that crap league. Like, that's why that no one watches that or the
Big
12.
It was like, what was it, 65, 63?
63, 66 or something like that, yeah.
That's why no one cares about the Pac-12 and no one cares about the Big 12.
Guess what?
Because
there
all those
five
football games.
There are 5 SEC teams in the top 25. There are 5 Pac-12 teams in the top 25.
Let's line them up and play.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's 5-5.
You can have
and one ACC team.
34 come from Bob. 34 and, point comeback win. Hey, one. Congratulations to Chip Kelly for a 34 point comeback win. I believe this is the start of something spectacular
oh, yeah,
out in Westwood, and I cannot wait, Ian, until we are boarding Floyd's private
plane. I'm counting it down, man. I am counting
it down. To the national championship game whenever Chip Kelly takes UCLA there. Which, by the way, Ian, you know Floyd will find a way to get out of that saying, I only meant for 1 year, not 3 years later. Nope. On the plane we go. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to John, who's got a question for the GM about the Titans' offensive line. Go ahead, John.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call, as always. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I'm going to go ahead and agree with Jared right here. Floyd, will you please give some insight to John Robinson on how to construct a good offensive line? I'm not even asking for a great one, just a good one. I mean, and I'm okay with the previous caller bringing back Mike Munchak, or hell, even Mike Mularkey. But and then also, Jared, man, we had a caller call in and said, you said Adoree gave up that touchdown. I want you to look at this stat. Malcolm Butler has been beat every week since the Philly game last year for a touchdown. T.Y. Hilton got him last week. D.J. Chark Jr., a rookie, got him this week. And
D.J. Chark's in a second year. D.J. Chark's in a second year. D.J. Chark's a good player, and Malcolm Butler, to me, is not the problem right now. I love Chark.
Yeah, he's okay.
Do you have any problem with Malcolm Butler right now?
No.
I mean, I said Adoree gave him the touchdown because he fumbled the punt.
We're going to, and this the caller brings up a good point. I mean, they're going to be, as long as we are forced to play man for man, and we can't put pressure on the quarterback. I mean, we're going to have those days now.
And they can't play zone because when they do, it's a first down every time.
We're going to have those tough times because we can't get pressure. Now, if you get pressure, great, go for it. I mean, playing man for man doesn't bother me. But you have to have the right circumstances.
By the way, NFL Network right now has something on there, DJ Chark, 20-something fantasy points a game this season, saying, hey, got to go with DJ Chark. He's a pretty good player. Terry.
Fantasy points?
I guess. I don't know. Terry is up next. Ask O.J. Simpson. He's all about his fantasy team on Twitter. Talking about, oh, my fantasy team sucks. Terry is up next. What's up, Terry?
Hey, man. I know you're on the 12-4 wagon at the beginning of the year. I have to feel like you're changing your mind with that. I don't know, man. Like, I don't see how you can look at our offense in the first three games and you know, with Wally Cleaver playing quarterback and the ghost of George Jones playing right guard. I don't know, man. I just don't see how it just looks bad. I think they'll do good to win seven games with the offensive production we've seen so far. I mean, you got Marcus out there missing wide open receivers. I don't know. I just don't see how you guys are so optimistic.
Thank you for the call, Terry. New England last year started 1-2. Did not lose a game until November 11th against the Titans.
Do you feel like your 12-4 might be out of whack?
Am I disappointed with the coaching? Yes.
I didn't ask that. Do you think your 12-4, this is very simple, do you think your 12-4 might be out of whack? It's yes or no.
I think the Titans should be held accountable if they don't go
12-4.
Do
you think your 12-4 might be a little bit out of whack?
Yes. 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 I'm worried this team sucks. I watched a lot of football this weekend, and I watched these offensive lines, and the only offensive line that sucks nearly as much as the Titans is the Dolphins, and they are horrible.
Cleveland is up there.
I didn't watch that game. I watched so much football this week, and I just watched these games and got depressed looking at quarterbacks that were taken in the fourth round that throw the ball 100 times better than Marcus throws it and hits guys that are open, and it just, oh, God. Yes. Yes. I am worried that this team stinks. I am worried that the Tennessee Titans are not good, and I had so convinced myself that they were good, and the next, like, 3 weeks is going to tell me if the Titans are any good. Atlanta, Buffalo, Denver. Three incredibly winnable games. One at home against a 3-0 Buffalo, but they're phony anyways. But two games where I want to say if you're a good team, you will beat Atlanta and you will beat crummy Denver. And yet I would not bet. I don't think I'd bet $1,000 on either game right now. Like, I don't feel comfortable losing $1,000 risking $1,000 that they'll go and beat crummy Denver? Oh, goodness gracious. I'm going to let Dr. Detroit get in. Dr. Detroit's up next. Go ahead, Dr. Detroit.
Thank you, being a Louisville alumni of Sigma Chi. God bless you for that. Well, hold on to your seatbelts if you got them sampled. I tell you, what I heard, the way Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost yesterday, that probably combines the Titans last Sunday and Thursday night. Can you believe the nerve of any head coach saying, oh, it's too good of a chip shot for my field goal kicker? He shines on a pedestal outside of anybody else in the NFL. We're going to take a delay penalty and back him up. And look what happened. How embarrassing, insulting. Send that head coach a straight check in the muzzle for the rest of the week. God bless you all. Good night.
Thank you, Dr. Detroit. I'll say this. I have said for a while that Floyd needs to go help his former pupil, John Robinson, learn how to draft offensive linemen and sign offensive linemen, because Floyd could take a guy in the fourth round and make him a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro candidate. He could, you know, I don't know why John can't happen to find offensive line guys, but Floyd could. I told Floyd earlier today, and Floyd, you were a great special teams general manager because you had been a special teams coach for so long. And I told you, you need to go to Tampa and go help your other former pupil, Jason Light, and find him a kicker.
Did you see what the coach said, though?
So that, stupid.
That was the worst I have ever heard.
I mean, Arians would have just been better off saying that.
Hey, I screwed it up. We didn't want to kick from there. We wanted to kick the 29er. But no, I planned it. Oh, he'll regret that the rest of his life.
You're Jason.
Yeah, it's awful.
You're Jason Light, the general manager. Your coach says something that stupid.
Oh, why? God, I'd be so
Do you
so
call him in there?
I'd be so disappointed.
Do you call him and say, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what the hell are you doing, man? You know how stupid that sounds?
Did you have to watch the coach's press conference?
Just take a shot.
Did you have to watch, like, every, like, Jeff Fisher press conference when you were GM just to,
no.
You know, just kind of. But if something stupid was said, it would come.
Oh, it always ends up on your desk, yeah.
Coming up next, speaking of coaches' press conferences, the Titans had practice today. Mike Vrabel talks about their 1-2 start, how he feels about the season, and much, much more. We get to that coming up next. Again, we are live out at Neighbors in Germantown. Jerry and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the GM live out at Neighbors in Germantown. Again, Monday Night Football coming up tonight. Thanks to Tullamore Dew and Brews, only $6 live right here at Neighbors in Germantown. Floyd Reese, the Titans had practice today because they played on Thursday night. Mike Vrabel met with the media, and we hit some of the highlights, starting with your favorite player on the Tennessee Titans, the guy you believe is the next Bruce Matthews, at right guard Nate Davis, the third-round pick out of Charlotte. I think it was Charlotte.
Yes.
Yes. Who has not really done anything except practicing the first week of practice this year. And we know right guard's a mess. So what about getting Nate Davis back into the mix, Coach Vrabel?
We've spoken several times about Nate Davis needing to catch up. Now, almost a month into the season, you feel like he's progressed to the point where maybe he could be?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I want to try to play Nate. And see, you know, the only way that you can see, again, to you guys' point, was the games. I mean, it's hard to when some of these practices with one padded practice a week, or in last week's case, none, you know, those are difficult things. And so, you know, we're going to have to try to get him ready to go as soon as we possibly can. And I'm hopeful that that's this week.
Floyd, what do you think of the idea of sticking Nate Davis in at right guard with not a ton of experience against the Atlanta Falcons this week in Atlanta?
Well, I mean, it gives you an idea of what they think of who's playing a right guard. Here's a guy who's never put a jock on, and you're going to stick him in a game, an important game.
That's like when someone gets released, and all of a sudden you sit there and you go, "Yeah, yeah, sign him." Like Dante Jackson gets released, sign him. What do you know about Dante Jackson? Nothing. Sign him. And that's where they are right now, yeah, at the guard position. What about accountability? Mike Vrabel brought that up on Friday, says he thinks he needs the team to be more accountable. What do they need to do this week?
Trying to fix things. How do you break it down, and how much time do you allot for it? Is it today, or is it something you work on through
the week? I think it's just a continual process. I think that the thing that we felt like we needed to get back to was we focused over the weekend and today on accountability and fundamentals. And that's just, you know, what I felt like was something that was easy that we could all look at in the meeting rooms this morning, being accountable. You know, I told him a story. I had a teacher in the fifth grade. I hope he's watching. Not sure if he is or not, but when we got in trouble, you know, he made us write out like 3,000 times, "I will take responsibility for my own actions." Figured out later on in life that was called accountability, you know, taking responsibility. And fixing it. You know, it's not just enough to say, you know what, I have to be better, but it's like I have to be better, and then this is how I'm going to fix it. The fundamentals, I think, is something that I've always felt as a player was critical. You know, I think some of the penalties that we did have could be a result of just some fundamentals and just getting back to concentrating and focusing on our fundamentals.
What do you make of that?
The absolute most important thing he said in my mind was when he said, you know, take responsibility for it and fix it. Because we've taken responsibility for it. I mean, that's, our guys are good at that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think there's any of those guys that will, if they screwed up, will hesitate to say, hey, yeah, I should have done better. But how many of them can get it fixed? And I think that's the key for me, you know, especially I think when we're talking about Marcus.
See, you think that accountability thing is totally in the direction of Mariota?
No. I think it's probably in a lot of different directions.
Mm-hmm.
I think the getting it fixed part is the key phrase there. That's the key verbiage.
Speaking of getting it fixed, what about Adoree Jackson returning punts? Please get that fixed and take him off that Mike Vrabel.
Well, I mean, I think we're going to focus on, you know, improving in that unit. That's something that we have to improve on. And I would say that, you know, there's been accountability there. And you know, we'll look to work in guys as we see fit. And, you know, he'll be in there in some capacity.
Does that reach a certain point where you want?
No. You know what the accountability should be. You know who's lacking accountability?
Who?
Him. For keep running Adoree out there. Stop running him out there. He can't return punts. He sucks at it. Stop. You want accountability? Be accountable. Put your hand in the air. Say, I screwed up putting him out there, and I won't put him out there again. Amen. That's all I ask.
I bet he's out there.
Why?
Some point in time.
He can't return. I can return just as well as he can. But, you know, I'm just saying, he can't return. Goodness. All right, we are out of here. The Preds, by the way, we'll be at the Preds on Wednesday night as they are getting real close to wrapping up their preseason. Preds Insiders, Ryan Porth, Hal Gill. That's coming up next. Please, someone explain to me why Ellie Tolvanen got sent down to Milwaukee. They'll break that all down. We're out of here. Jared and the GM.